Welcome to this episode of the Essential Church Podcast, an ongoing conversation about some of the most important issues facing the local church today. I'm your host, Andrew Arndt, and today I want to take you to a conversation that I recorded not long ago with Pastor Rory Green and a friend of ours, Britt Windle. Britt is a pastor of Daybreak Church up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, a really wonderful community that he planted about 10 years ago along with his wife. And we are living in a time where when we think of church planting, our ambitions are always bigger, best. We want the hugest church, you know, we want to make it into Outreach Magazine's list of the fastest growing churches and all that. And sometimes the Spirit does that, and that's wonderful. But there are other times that the Spirit takes us on a different path. And the Spirit has taken Britt and his church on a very different path. He's reaching people that are difficult to reach, and the Lord has been good to them and has provided for them. And when I first heard Britt's story, it was so encouraging to me. I thought, we just got to get you on the podcast because I think your story is going to be really encouraging to a lot of other pastors. And so Rory and I sit down with him and let him tell his story, and I think that you're going to get a lot out of it. So without further commentary from me, here's to the end. Well, it's good to be together on this fine Thursday. Rory Green, you doing good today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Thank
you.
So we're hosting here a new friend of mine, Britt Windle is his name. And Britt, just to give a little history here, Britt and I have some mutual friends that go way, way back. And for the last, I don't know, year or so, a couple of those mutual friends have been like, you guys need to talk. And so we did a Zoom call. I think it was earlier this year, if my memory does not deceive me. And I heard the story of Britt's church, Daybreak Church. He's a pastor in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And I just thought, okay, we need people to hear this story. I think sometimes the stories that get the most press in the church are the amazing stories of like, we launched a church in January, and you know, by Easter we had 7,000 people showing up, and you know, most of them are new believers, and you know, and stories of super famous pastors and all that. And meanwhile, there are these really amazing people doing faithful work in the trenches, and sometimes a lot of light doesn't get shed on what they're up to. So, I just wanted our people to hear from Britt, to hear this story a little bit. So, Britt, man, I'll just tee you up by saying, tell us a little bit about Daybreak Church and what God has been up to in Kenosha, Wisconsin over the past decade or so.
I love it, man. Thank you guys for having me. So Daybreak, we just celebrated our 9th birthday this last October. So we're coming up on a decade, which is just absolutely wild.
Good job.
We did the whole load in, load out thing. We met in a middle school for the first 2 years. And we sweated our tails off. We had the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, big vision of we're going to be that church that opens. We're going to draw in 200 people, and then we're going to have the half dip. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be like 700 people by Easter. And it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. We met in a 758-seat auditorium. And within the 2 years, we grew that to 48 people.
They were staying away by the thousands.
Oh, yeah. So it was, again, it was a challenge for sure. I think just like, man, God, what are we doing here? And God continued to draw. My wife and I had this vision of really Luke 8, the story of a man with legion who wants to go with Jesus. And Jesus says, no, go home and tell your family what the Lord has done. Mm-hmm. And so the vision of Daybreak was really like, hey, let's just tell as many people as we can about the story of God and what mm-hmm. that looks like. And so we, almost 7 years ago, we were in Colorado visiting some friends in Fort Collins. And a friend of mine called and said, hey, I have a friend who's looking to offload some property downtown. I know you've been looking at over 30 buildings over the last few years to find something that fits your space and what you guys are looking for. You guys should come take a look. And so met with the owners. We walked the building, and lo and behold, it was a building that we had been praying for about 4 years.
Whoa.
And they had just come into possession of it. And we're like, hey, like, what do you want to be in the building? And we asked, like, hey, like, how much is it going to cost us? And they were believers. And so their question to us was, how much are you paying to be in the middle school? And let's start there. And so we moved into a 9,000 three-story building right on the corner downtown in the heart of downtown Kenosha in 2016. We had our first service that January 2017, and it has been a wild roller coaster up of teaching people to just love one another, be radically hospitable to our community, loving our community. It's been a beautiful ride. I think welcoming people is one of the things we say often in our church is that God welcomes the strange and the stranger. God has been faithful in that of bringing us some really sweet, strange people. It's been a gift of love. I think one of the things we've said over the last few weeks with our elders there's a spirit of love and joy amongst our people that I've not felt in the last 9 years that is just really beginning to root and anchor itself of we run about 170 people on our big days right now. Yeah. And it's just a room full of like children running and bumping into 90-year-old ladies who pick them up and give them candy. And like, it's the sweetest, most beautiful thing. I've been a pastor for 21 years, and it's the coolest thing I've ever been a part of.
Brett, so this whole miracle with the building, part of what creates some context for it is who the Lord has led you guys to reach over the last 9 years. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you could just tell our listeners a little bit about the name of your church, Daybreak Church, and maybe how that speaks to the makeup of your congregation.
Yeah. So one of my just famous favorite reader authors, Henry Nouwen, just really helped shape a lot of my just theology of love and grace and caring for people and using his language, the downward mobility.
Yes.
To not be looking upwards, but you know, where would Christ have me go low to reach people? Reading his biography of when he like kind of walked away from a lot of his stardom. He joined a community in Canada, the Lay Ark Ministries. But that specific group was called Daybreak. And I remember just hearing that. I was like, man, I love that name. I love just the imagery of Lamentations, that even when life is just miserable and it feels like God is force feeding you gravel, yet I will hope that his mercies are new every morning, that every daybreak his grace is fresh and new. And so my wife and I, like, I'm a namer, so I had the list of church plant names. And I remember when I came to Daybreak, she perked up and she's like, that's it. That's the one. To which I was like, oh yes, like that's the one I want. Like what? And I was like, why is that the one, babe? And she said, Britt, you don't know, but I've been praying that prayer for 6 years. And I just, I'm longing for God's grace to be tangibly felt when I wake up someday. And I was like, okay, daybreak it is. And so for me, it was this idea of like, what if we created a home for people so the Lay Ark Ministries, to give a little bit of context, Jean Vanier started this organization long, long time ago after World War II. And it's a home for individuals with cognitive or physical disabilities that their families either won't take care of, can't take care of, or community won't take care of. And they come into these homes and upwards of 10 to 30 people live together, and they care for one another under the grace of God. And just the imagery of that, I was like, man, like what if that was the kind of the focus that we had of a place for people who are hurt, broken, wounded, to come and just experience God's mercy and grace and healing amongst a bunch of other broken, messed up people. And God has been faithful to that, more faithful to it than I sometimes wish that he was. But he's good.
There are other things you could be faithful to, Lord.
You could be
faithful to all of your promises.
Yes.
Britt, I think you guys are doing an incredible job at this, because if you, if any one of our listeners were to Google Daybreak Church, what's funny is like, you know, Outreach Magazine's fastest growing churches doesn't pop up. There isn't like a massive digital platform, but there are blogs and newspapers that are local to Wisconsin that are writing about you and the work that Daybreak is doing. So I'm curious, you talk about, you know, having this ministry that is focused, is looking downward, not upward. It's trying to be intentional about the community and the space that it's in. I'm wondering what some of the ways you guys are doing those things are. But I'm also curious to hear you talk about what some of the challenges of engaging with people like that has been for you.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, just to talk vision for us, we embrace simplicity. And so we do three things, and we've done three things for the last 9 years. We gather on Sunday mornings to celebrate what God has done, is doing, and promises to do. We scatter into our communities to show God's love. And then we break together weekly to do life and gather around communion. And so we've done that faithfully for 9 years. And so we don't have a ton of programmatic stuff that we are a part of when it comes to scattering. So my wife used to be on staff at a large non-for-profit in Loveland, Colorado, I'm probably giving too much. I'm giving enough detail for people to Google and figure out where the organization. But she ran a lot of their non-for-profit serving projects. And so she's taken that skill set. And we will annually do what we call Scatter Day, where it's similar to like the big serves that ARC and other large churches do around the country. And so we do it on a Sunday morning. So we know that we have 100% attendance on Sunday. And so where we might only get 50 to 60% people to serve on a Friday or a Saturday, I know that you're going to come worship the Lord on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And so for us, serving is a part of worship for us. Mm. And so for the last 9 years, we've faithfully served on a Sunday morning. We're serving non-for-profits, organizations. We're building like playhouses for kids in their backyard, serving single moms, working with places that help young single moms that don't have housing, sex trafficking houses. We find different organizations that we can partner with and utilize our people's resources to bless them. We're heavily connected with the organizations in town that are doing good work. So the Shalom Center doing a phenomenal job at both a place for individuals who are single and homeless. They have a family ends program where it's kind of an in-transit housing. Just doing phenomenal work there. So we partner with them on a regular basis. Foster care, just as everywhere else, is a huge issue in our community. A new partner that we've connected with recently. So Kenosha has just because of its foster care system and immigrant, it's more close to some immigration centers. We have at this point over 400 kids that do not have beds in our community. Oh, wow. And there's an organization called Sleep in Heavenly Peace that our branch has been around for 5 years and has made over 1,400 beds for kids. And we still have 300 currently that don't have beds. And so we partner with them on a bi-monthly basis of going to help build beds, raise funds for them. We just did one of our big projects with them, raised over $20,000, gave to them, and our church built 87 beds to ship out to kids that week. And so we try to find that tangible place to actually do good and be good for our community. I feel like we've done it long enough now that it just happens. My wife was doing a project with her company with one of the chief event coordinators at Jockey International, and he's a believer. And they were talking, and he was talking about, he's like, man, I just love what your church is doing. You guys are always serving the community, and like just how you guys get the major impact that you guys do. And he was alluding to like us being a really big church. And my wife stopped him. She's like, how many people do you think go to our church? And he's like, what, 500, 750?
Right.
And she's like, no, about 150 to 170. And he was just like, how do you do that? And for us, it's our culture. When people come through our basics, it's what we talk about. It's how we serve. We just did kind of a reverse giving tree where we're doing a blessing. We've got like garland all around our building, or all around the inside, and we have over 75 little tags for church families that are just random acts of kindness and blessing. And like we told the church Sunday, like all of these need to be taken by the end of the day today. And the only one that is left is for somebody to get a group together and go sing caroling to their neighbors.
Yeah.
And right. So like, which I'm like, I wouldn't take that one either. So that's totally fine. You know, so our church gets it. Our church gets it. They're excited about it. And then the third angle is breaking bread together. We do what we call dinner parties. It's a ministry that we modified from a church in New York, and we're in homes three seasons throughout the year, with intergenerational, like just everybody together, breaking bread, talking about scripture, learning to pray together, love one another. And that single-handedly, I think, has just shaped the community that we exist in, and why it feels like we have a larger impact than we probably should as a church our size.
Brett, I'm so inspired by you. You're doing difficult work. You're doing it in a hard place, but there's the wind of the Spirit is at your back. And I've been thinking as you were talking that you guys are a church for the down and out, but you're also a church made up of the down and out. And it's like something changes when you consider yourself to be a down and out person. And then all of a sudden you're called into the mission of God. It's dignifying and it puts new strength in you. It's sort of like the Isaiah 61 thing. Like they will be called oaks of righteousness, of planting the Lord for the display of his splendor. And you're doing that. What I love, this is going to be my last question to you, but I think what I love so much about your story, and this connects to your love for Henry Nouwen. I think the best callings in our lives are the callings that we just wouldn't have picked for ourselves. Like we're being led to places that we wouldn't have chosen. And you've been a pastor for the marginalized, a pastor for people on the fringes. You wouldn't have chosen that, but here you are, you're in the middle of it and you're doing it. So this is my question to you. How over the last 9 years, how has being this people's pastor shaped you? Like who is Brett Wendell now that you weren't 9 years ago? What has the Lord opened up in you through these people?
Man. That is heavy. I think to use a Nouwenism that just kind of came to me, very much a bruised reed. I have felt things that I never thought possible. So one of my pastors, Aaron Stern, he said that like church planting is, it's like riding a roller coaster that's on fire. And I would add to that that the seatbelts aren't working and you're holding on for dear life. Just the high highs and the low lows. And yet God, for some reason, has given my frame the capacity to feel those things and not shriek back. I think most church planners, I think, could recount the story of, you build your launch team and you're like, these people are family. They're not going to leave. Yeah. And 6 months in, if not half of them, all of them have transitioned on. And, these were people that we saw miracles in. We saw women's wombs to be healed that could not have babies, end up getting pregnant. Like just wild stuff. Just crazy, crazy things that the Lord was faithful in. And then to watch those people go, okay, we're going to go to the bigger church now because we're having babies and they have a better children's ministry. And it's like, okay. and in the same vein of that, to just be like, God has called this. Again, this doesn't sound sexy by any means, but there's a few times in my life I've heard the Lord speak. And one of them specifically was to come to Kenosha and just die. This is my graveyard. And in the same vein, it is the place that I will truly figure out how to live. And I would say that over the last 10 years of my wife and I being here, and again, you and I have talked quite a bit, Andrew, like, there's so many stories that to me is just life. I'm like, distal bicep tears and retina tears and cancer scares and like just like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
That now it's like, I just walked our elders through Psalm 98, and that last verse from, I think it's 98:8, where it says that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
That's right.
And I think the more I do this, the more I'm like, I feel like I've already seen it,
yeah,
yet I know that there's still more. And if I can just faithfully like not botch that up,
yeah,
keep running, I'll get to see even more God working through people, redeeming marriages, yeah, saving man. Our city. It's what he wants to do.
Brett, what a word, man. Go find a group of people and try to die with them. Turn your ministry into your graveyard, you know? Wow. You're an inspiration to us, man. The church is Daybreak Church, friends. Go check it out online. You can follow Brett Wendell wherever social media is happening. I think you're out there. Is that right? Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. But follow this guy, because he'll help you follow Jesus and your calling as a pastor better. Brett, we love you, man, and we bless you. Thanks for being with us today.